webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself and God and God and you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for Thursday, May the 11th, 2017, broadcasting from the home of Redemptionism, where we love every train of thought visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you from the Gospel Revolution studios right here in Eva, Alabama, thanks to the generosity of GR executive producers Jimmy and Carrie McCollum. But right now, from Palm Beach Gardens in Florida, bringing you more consistent, persistent, repetitive CPR of the gospel, is the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams.
Hello, Bears.
Hello, Michael. Who is that guy, the dreadful postal worker guy that was on Seinfeld? Hello, Jerry. Yeah. Well, how the heck are you?
I'm doing just extremely well.
Good. Enough about you.
Life is good. Oh, no, it's never. It's always about me, regardless what we're talking about.
Okay. We have an hour and 15 to fit this in, so you just take your time, friend.
Well, that's not enough time for me to talk about me.
Well, it's all you're getting today.
Well, let me get in a little bit at least. Well, it's beautiful here. Oh, my gosh. We had your cold front that came down and got us. Dropped our temperatures to the upper 70s during the day.
Oh, the humanity.
Crystal clear. There's no humidity for the humanity.
Randy was telling me it got stinking hot there 2 days ago. He couldn't even go to work on his house.
Yeah, it was about it was a few more days than that ago, because it's been very nice for at least 3, going on 4 days, which we had a nice day of rain. I think I was telling the people about that the last time. That's how long it's been. It's been a week ago we had the rain. And then after that, just this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful weather.
Barry Laney, we'll talk about Barry in a while, but Barry Laney telegraphed from the Philippines. He said 95 degrees and 95 humidity. Just like home.
Yeah.
Just like home.
Just like home. I know. I've spoken with a lot of people who live in the Philippines, and the humidity and the heat are something they just have to live with, of course. But I think he's exaggerating a little bit in that I don't think it's been that bad in Sweet Home Alabama.
Well, 95% humidity. I mean, you've almost got to put your swimming costume on, haven't you?
Yeah, that instantly wet when you walk out the door. That's not fun.
Well, that's Brisbane, Queensland sometimes, and I'm pretty glad that, gosh, I'm glad that God invented air conditioning.
Exactly. It's the reason people live here now, actually. It's the sole reason people live this far south is because of air conditioning.
Well, all those, what do they call them? Snow fairies or something?
Snowbirds, snow fairies.
I don't know. All those.
You just insulted 3/4 of Florida.
And all of the gay population of America. Oh, dear. Well, we're off to a great start here. I can see it's going to be an interesting show, this one. We got emails this week, mate.
We did. We got lots of emails. We got good emails, and I think they're all something that we can the entire population of the world that we're talking to right now can enjoy.
Well, let's see. Let's start with Cherie Antone. And Cherie Antone gave us an email with the subject, Sinner's Prayer. Well, what better prayer can you have? I mean, a saint's prayer isn't worth much, but a sinner's prayer can change his eternal destination, I guess. Mm-hmm. Cherie Antone wrote, since the whole world has been redeemed, why then do preachers say we have to say the sinner's prayer for redemption? I means since that day I confessed in believing in Christ, dying on the cross and raising up again, I now know the Holy Spirit. There is something about the prayer that is confusing. I think that's a bit tongue-in-cheek. But anyway, there is something about the prayer that is confusing me a little in the way it is presented. Like, have to say it to become forgiven and redeemed when I already was.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I just got to tell you that I started saying, before I actually became tied up with the gospel revolution, I used to feed homeless people in a Baptist church, so I had to be careful what I said. And, whatever I said had to appeal to the powers that were there. And I used to start calling in a magic prayer. My God, you have never heard such a whining. It sounded like when a British Airways jet landed in Australia years ago. You could tell it was full of Brits because when they stopped the engines, the whining kept going. Well, this co-pastor in the church took me to task and I said, well, what else would you call it? It's a magic prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a magic prayer. It does magic.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
What do you think of what Cherie had to say?
Yeah, one moment you're going to hell, and the next split second you're going to heaven with, as Joel Osteen says, pray this little prayer with us. And, man, eternity is based on this little prayer. Now, if you said that little prayer with us, you're now a child of God.
Well, and there is a rub. I was listening to two atheists, one of whom at least, maybe both of whom, had been Christians for over two decades. And they took this call in. It was on a podcast. They took in this call from somebody who says, well, people deserve punishment. You know, you need to be punished if you do the wrong thing. It's one of those basic defense mechanisms of Christians. And he said, well, do you think if somebody murders and rapes somebody, they should not be punished? And this atheist came out with a line that I wish I'd come out with. He said, let's flip the coin some. If I rape and murder somebody, and then I become born again,
mm-hmm.
what is my punishment?
Yeah.
And the guy had nothing to say and nowhere to go. I mean.
Yeah. It is, I labeled it doctrines of convenience many years ago. I coined that phrase. And until somebody nails them on these things, and I'm just getting ready. We'll be sending you out another newsletter. Oh, my goodness. I've been busy.
Yeah, if you're not getting our newsletters, family, look, they're bloody free.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Three of my four grandparents were Scottish, and I got too much of that in me to want to pay more money than I need to for free stuff. Get it.
Oh, yeah. Please get these. I mean, there's a lot of thought and a lot of time goes into the newsletters when I do publish them and they do go out.
And they don't go out that often. We don't inundate. We don't send you. We're not like some people. We send you an email every day on your email. No, we send maybe four or five a year.
It really is a crying shame if you're not getting these.
Yeah. You go to gospelrevolution.com. That would be gospelrevolution.com. And just go to contact, write a letter. Our young Jeff will pick that up, and he will make sure you go on the mailing list. And if you don't get emails, well, we'll pay the 50 cents postage to get it to you.
Paris, not only that, but online you have access to all of the newsletters that we've ever done, at least in the modern world. And goodness gracious, there's many times I get emails with questions about things that people are saying, hey, I'm thinking about this, and what about that? And I said, well, I did a whole article on that. Did you read it?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I got that one. Well, are you on? And I'll ask. So, are you on the email list? And now these are avid gospel revolutionaries that have been with us for years.
What is wrong with them?
And then get the response, well, I don't know. It's like, okay, this is where I start cussing. So.
Well, see, the interesting thing is, Cherie, we're going to get back to you. We always do, but it could be a couple of weeks. The problem is that we have three different orbits of influence. And, like, one is people who are on the internet but don't get the podcast, people who get the podcast who are obviously on the internet, and those who are who maybe they just don't want to have a computer. So, and for those folks, we well, anyway.
Yeah, we'll do whatever it takes to get you one. But for those of you that have even access to being online, goodness. And also, you got to realize that these articles are set up. Now, Jeff has coded these in a way to where that if you want to know about forgiveness of sin, just type that in the search and it'll pull up the articles that we've that have anything to do with that. If you want to know about righteousness, if you want to know about the end of the world, when I write an article, I'm usually writing not just in a teaching frame, but a how does this relate to life frame of mind. It's not just a verse by verse. I do that all the time. We do in context teaching constantly. But these news articles are different. And, a couple of people have told me they got a couple of things out of them. So maybe you would too. Please don't pass these newsletters up.
So what's a new newsletter? What is it about?
The new newsletter that's coming out is about God and humanity, the divine and humanity. How do you recognize that? How is that seen? How is that experienced? How is it not experienced? And all of these articles are about a page and a half long if you printed them out.
In large print, by the way.
Yeah, we even got it in good print form so that it's easy to read. But yeah, that's this one. And goodness gracious, I really enjoyed doing this one. There was some things that I think that we just needed to look at. And what does it mean to be one? What is that? And when do we see God? If we are the manifestation of God in the earth, that's a big mouthful, you know. So when and where is that seen? When can we see it? When do we get to look at that? So that's what this is all about. And I would really love to have your feedback on it.
What does God being in the earth, God in the earth, what's it look like?
Yes.
On Monday morning when you get up and, you know, you're driving to work.
Exactly. To work or the grocery store or wherever. That's what this article is about. And, you know, really, back to our email from Cherie, this really is the crux of the matter in so many ways. Goodness gracious. You know, it is amazing. We never get a question that everything that is taught in the Gospel Revolution does not fit under the tent of answering that question. We could go through the whole Bible and answer one question.
It's an hour and a half show.
Yes. So we have to kind of trim it down just a little bit anyway. But you guys know me. I'd be just as happy just to continue going. And because the fractal nature of this gospel is really quite amazing.
Now, for those who've never heard that term, what does it actually mean?
Well, the something having a fractal nature is that the smallest part is completely reflective of the whole, and the whole is reflective of the smallest part. It's
okay.
It's repetitive over and over and over and over again. So whether you're talking about sin or righteousness, they are fractals of the same gospel. So this issue of forgiveness of sin, there's so many directions we could go with this.
Let me just repeat her last sentence. There is something about the prayer, she's talking about the sinner's prayer, that is confusing me a little. I I think that is probably the crux of, like have to say it to become forgiven and redeemed when I already was.
Well, I think that her confusion is leading to some logic. You know, sometimes you have to have contradiction to what you've thought to be able to have something comparative to look at. Now, in the Christian world, you don't ever want to have a comparative logic going on. Oh, no. In fact, you consider any comparative logic as the devil. It is confusion. It is divisive. It is quarreling. It is all of these things. If you say, yes, I see this, but what about this? Oh, man, you're going to get shut down. I mean, shut down. Well, here you don't get shut down. We go into it. The fact that one silly little prayer, you listen to Joel, he trivializes it. It's just this little prayer. It's just a little bitty, bitty prayer, you know. Now, that one works instantly. But the rest of them, forget it.
I pray that grandma doesn't die. Well, she may not. I pray for those people who in the tsunami or in the tornado. Oh, some are going to live, some are going to die.
And that cold you got, you know. Now, even though
good luck with that.
This little prayer changes your destiny from hell to heaven, but you don't have the faith it takes to get rid of the common cold.
Oh, well.
You know, these things just start clashing, and they should clash, but they clash because your mind and your logical brain that is given to you by God is saying, hold on a minute. So we hold on a minute. And you're right, Cherie. It is illogical. There's nothing about it that makes sense. There is no way in view and light of the cross that the entire impact that the cross says, as we spoke about last week from Jim's letter, that the entire impact of that and the power of it is completely useless.
I think the word you used earlier, trivialized, I just love it.
Yeah, it is trivialized, and it becomes absolutely useless unless you say that little prayer. It's amazing to me. I sometimes wonder how in the world I ever incorporated any of that. But I can tell you why. Out of fear. Number one, fear. Absolute fear. Fear bypassed all logic and all reason that I had in me as a human being, even.
Mate, I used to say that little prayer every time I'd get my tail spanked. My mother would send me into the bathroom. Let's say, I don't know, she caught me doing something I shouldn't do or whatever. Well, she'd send me to the bathroom so that Dad would flay the skin off me. Like she made the bullets and he fired them. But every time that happened in that bathroom, I got saved again. I was the most saved kid in Brisbane, you know. I'm pretty sure I can say that with some standing. And look, every time I said the prayer, darned if the next day I didn't do something wrong. I mean, it didn't change me one iota.
But the moment of relief you got from the guilt and the shame was real. And because we were told that. But if whatever anybody would have told you, if they'd have said, you know, bowing down and turning the hot water on and then the cold water, then the hot water and the cold water, and then kissing the pipes underneath and raising up, standing up, put your hands up, then guilt would be gone. You would have felt a sense of release from that too.
Or using chicken's blood and a horse's head.
Yeah.
And
all of the religions in the world, their prescriptions for getting rid of sin and guilt. Exhausting.
Well, what happens is when Christianity says, oh, you wouldn't want to go near, magic or what do they call that stuff coming out of New Orleans?
Voodoo.
Yeah, or voodoo. Whenever it's something like that, magic or voodoo, it's always demonic. But their magic is somehow, you're supposed to swallow that, Cherie.
the voodoo of this little prayer is acceptable. The voodoo that comes out of New Orleans is the devil. Their voodoo is good. Don't get me going, Barris Bartlett.
So, Cherie, you say there is something about the prayer that is confusing? Yes. Yes, yeah. We agree with you. And welcome on board. I haven't seen your name. I'm sure that you've been around for a long time, Cherie. I haven't seen your name around, but it's great to get your email.
Yeah, thank you, hon.
Victor Brennan.
Again?
He's like a fly on a hand. I mean, I'm telling you. He says, I think there is a direct connection. And Cherie, this may be helpful, I hope. I think there is a direct connection between personal faith and making Jesus personal Lord, quote unquote, etc., and the predestination doctrines of Calvin and Arminianism. So he says there's a direct connection between saying the magic prayer, personal faith, and making Jesus personal Lord, the magic prayer again that Cherie was talking about, and the predestination doctrines of Calvin and Arminianism. I think you accurately debunked both these vile predestination doctrines. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Calvin's view was basically you're either going to hell or you're not, and so your lifestyle might indicate to which you were headed. And Arminianism would counter that by saying that you have to decide yourself. You have the choice to make a personal choice. I think Billy Graham was a strong Arminian. All of that is counter to the scriptures and counter to what Paul taught. Great program as usual. Best regards, Vic. He's talking about last week when we were talking about this very problem. And
right.
Why don't you lead us off on this, mate?
Well, first off, I'm going to let you give us the correct definition of Arminianism and Calvinism. Let's start there, Barris.
Well, there was a fellow called St. Augustine. He was a dogma dictocrat of the church, and he's a guy that is now praised and held in such high esteem in almost all multiple thousands of branches of Christianity. Doesn't matter if it's a Catholic church, the Orthodox Church of the East. It doesn't matter if it's a Greek Orthodox Church, a Syriac Church, a little bit different. But or all Protestants. Augustine is held in such high regard. But remember that he's a man who refused all his life to ever learn Greek and despised the Greek mindset. Remember that the New Testament was written in Greek to Greeks. He boasted he would never learn Greek, and he also taught that if you don't baptize babies, they go to hell. A baby that dies under Augustine's teachings goes straight to hell. Do not pass go, do not collect $200, and sorry, bye-bye, better have another baby. Now, in the years when you could have a lot of babies, that was probably pretty useful, but we just lost one baby to hell, we'll just try for another one. But Calvin, Thomas Aquinas took Augustine very, very literally, and after him was Calvin. Calvin taught that God could save all the people of the world, but just doesn't want to. Nah, I don't think I want to. So by definition, God sends people to hell, some, and other people he sends to heaven. Now, we know from modern history that he only sends about 5% to heaven, maybe, if you're lucky, and he sends the other 95% to hell. So he consigns, God births people for the sole purpose of sending them to hell. That is Calvinism.
Yep.
God wants to save all the people in the world, but just too weak to.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on your choice.
Now, in Arminianism, there is no predestination, or is there predestination in it?
Yes, there is. Yeah. After you're saved, quote unquote, and you can get saved many times in Arminianism. Calvinism is God making the decision, and Arminianism is you making the decision. You may not have been saved the first time. Maybe you'll have to come back and get saved again. You got to get born. I love this phrase. You came up with this originally. You might have to get born again.
So, so that's the definitions of those two. And anyone who says that Calvin was not a hard line Calvinist, he was what I call a front door Calvinist. He believed and said and wrote that if you're not elected, if you aren't chosen by God, you're damned.
And that's a true statement.
And most other, and most modern Calvinists, they want to say they're backdoor Calvinists. They want a bit each way. You know, it's just that,
Now, I remember as the Word of Faith movement was merging, the charismatic movement was merging, we had two groups of people coming together, and that was people from a old line Pentecostal background, which tended to be Arminian persuasions of the getting saved, losing your salvation, getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, but losing it all, getting it back over and over. And then those of the Baptist persuasion and others of those that were much more Calvinist, where the debate became once saved, always saved, or you got to get saved over and over. There's no way to divide these up in strict camps because there's no consistent thinking about either of these groups.
But that's the way Christianity works. Christianity works best when you don't have to think.
Yeah, exactly. And because you don't think, it creates – when they do attempt to think without applying text, they break up. They go a different way. Well, you know, all the way down to infant baptism, number one, whether it should take place or shouldn't take place, and as to whether or not it's a direct ticket to hell or not, if you don't get them saved or don't get them baptized, they're not saved. This really becomes a jumbled mess. We had such strong influence from the Arminian way of thinking within the Word of Faith movement. Kenneth Copeland came out and actually declared that he was absolutely persuaded in once saved, always saved. And the backlash was so huge, he never said it again.
Oh, wow.
Because he was losing money.
Well, it's funny that that should be the motivating factor. I find that strange.
Well, you know... You've heard of 50 shades of gray. With this subject, there's 40,000 shades of gray. And my goodness, there's no way we can cover it all because there's little variations here and there and someplace else. The one thing that is not in any of them, either side of this, is just say what it's taught in context. And I remember also that, yes, you do have to believe. But the only way you can believe is if you were predestined to believe. It's like, well,
yeah.
Oh, man. So you have to believe. But if you do believe, you were predestined to believe. You born into this world predestined to heaven or to hell. And only about 5% of those are predestined to heaven. Yet they still go out and preach the gospel so that I guess this 5% still needs to believe, but if you don't believe, it proves you weren't predestined.
I remember when I was a kid, I must have been about 10 when I heard an old brother from the Brethren say this, and I thought, that's interesting, and I kind of put it in my baggage for multiple decades. And he said, it's like this, and he was trying to bring together both camps, and he said, when you approach the gate of salvation, you see written over the top of it, whosoever will may come. That's Arminian.
Yeah.
And then when you go through the gate and you look back at the gate, written over the gate now is predestined from the foundations of the world.
Yes.
And I thought, well, that makes sense. I can see how that would work. So I swallowed that.
Yeah.
But when you look, when you think about that, that's gobbledygook. That is lawyer talk.
It really is. It is oxymoronic at best. To say such a foolish thing. And Barris, I cannot emphasize enough this series on predestination that we just finished in Calgary, Alberta. And we're going to discuss that a little bit later. And be assured, there is no human on this earth that cannot get this series. We're going to make it possible. Personal Lord leads to personal faith, which, number one, you got to start with the linchpin. Personal Lord and Savior. It's not in the Bible anywhere. No place.
Or the sinner's prayer. Ain't there.
Nope, it's not there. And therefore, it leads to personal faith. And from personal faith, it leads to personal grace and personal experiences and personal this and personal that.
And personal performance.
And personal performance.
Because Christ's performance wasn't a finished work. Only your performance makes it that.
No, exactly.
Thank you, Vic. And I think you wrote, I think Billy Graham was a strong Arminian. He probably was. I mean, after 17 verses of "Just as I Am" at the end of a service, you know, you could be swayed. Not me. I'm a bigger man than that, but not Michael. Michael is far too good for that. But you could be swayed. But then the next day, maybe you'd fall into sin again. And yeah, let's just hear from Billy Graham. I don't think Billy Graham ended his career as a strong Arminian or a strong Calvinist. Mm-hmm. Let's have a listen to him right now.
Tell me, what do you think is the future of Christianity?
Well, Christianity and being a true believer, you know, I think there's the body of Christ, which comes from all the Christian groups around the world or outside the Christian groups. I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And I don't think that we're going to see a great sweeping revival that will turn the whole world to Christ at any time. I think the Apostle James in the First Council in Jerusalem answered that when he said that God's purpose for this age is to call out a people for his name. Mm-hmm. And that's what God is doing today. Mm-hmm. He's calling people out of the world for his name. Whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
This is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There is a wideness in God's mercy.
There is. There definitely is.
So, Vic, thank you. And, Michael, we got an email this week that, I'm trying to scroll down, from Sean Smith. I don't know how much we want to endorse young Sean. I just don't know, but let me give you a bit of background on Sean. Sean is he seems to be a bit of a newcomer to most of our GR members, or at least we've only been hearing from him recently. And Sean is an ex-Marine sergeant who now has multiple sclerosis. He's in a wheelchair, and he and I are experimenting at the moment with some possibilities of getting a message about love out, but more and more, he's bugging us, Mike. I mean, he's a thorn in our side. I think he's a okay. He said
you'd have to say he's a porcupine, right?
He's a porcupine. Where he comes from, you'd say a porcupine.
Yeah, and let me tell you, when we use that accent, we're not making fun of him. He's very proud of this. I'm telling you,
I am. Heck, I'm making a lot of fun of his accent. It's gorgeous. It's one of those Alabama. It's one of those beautiful Southern accents. You know who's that girl who does cooking? Paula Deen.
Yeah,
and she says, "Butter is your friend."
Yeah,
and that's my gospel. Butter is your friend. So anyway. No, we're not making fun of people. We're making fun of us because we can't even do an accent properly. I mean, Michael has been non-East Tennessean so long that he can't even think of how to talk like his brothers and sisters. He complains about that often, you know, to me privately. But anyway, Sean says, did y'all want questions or did y'all want to be questioned? And that's a snigger. That's a smirking snigger if ever I've heard one. He says, I've seen in many instances in the entertainment industry where it takes well-deserved potshots at the gospel because of how Christianity portrays it. Everything Christianity does, it does in the name of the gospel. I'm writing the below questions with the understanding, and when he says the below questions, there's 53 of them, but he says, and we're only going to deal with one today, Sean. That's all you get today, mate. One question. I'm writing the below questions with the understanding that anybody at any time can misconstrue words to suit a theology. No, you got that right. Or a spiritualism. Nevertheless, I understand that the meaning of the evangel, also known as the gospel, is very easy to misunderstand. The general populace don't seem to cogently, I'm not used to saying that word, but it's a real word, associate these words with good news, unless one has an inside view of what the gospel actually means or is. The term seems to get lost in an ecclesiastical world where theological giants go to retire and die. I used to struggle with whether or not to use ecclesiastical words because of how King Jimmy, as the head of English Christianity, forced the same ecclesiastical words within his Bible version on the English realm. The entire English-speaking word and all English Bible translations got Jimmy-sized as a result.
He's a linguist, goodness.
He is. This man has some words at his disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing this, here are some questions I ruminated over about how the evangel gets shared. Please indulge me. Question number one, and we're going through 11 questions here, but we're not going through them today. We're just having one today, and I think I might actually make a new segment, a good news segment. Sounds good. Isn't gospel, parenthesis, God's spell, and that's what it was in the Middle Ages, by the way, God's spell. You'll remember that from, there was a musical, wasn't it, Godspell?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Isn't gospel a word created by the English language through time and now owned by English Christianity as ecclesiastical verbiage? What say you, mate?
Well, I think that's a true statement. It is a word that, well, it just sounds more spiritual than good news. So,
yes, Sean, gospel is a modern short form of the word God's spell. And I saw you write on Facebook the other day, I wonder whose spell we are under. And it was a word in the English language. And you've got to remember this. The language spoken by King James, it was 4th of Scotland, 1st of England, who was responsible for the King Jimmy version. Love that word, Jimmy-sized. Because it's so true. All English versions after King Jimmy carried on mistakes that were made in that Bible. And the reason is you make the Bible and then you teach theology out of that Bible. Now you can't change your theology because you're holding yourself up to be a priest, a prelate, somebody who's some kind of a intelligent leader. And when a better translation comes out from the original Greek, what do? Well, you stay with your theology if you're most people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't change your theology because you'd be out of a job. So, yes, it was a word created by the English language, but the evangel is the evangel is the evangel. The good news is the good news. Here in the Gospel Revolution, we aren't trying to redeem words. We are trying to restate words. We aren't trying to buy back whatever the gospel is from Christianity. They've screwed it up so comprehensively that it's impossible to even make sense of it. But here in the Gospel Revolution, we've made the determination that we are not going to allow that to happen. If you ever wonder, why are we so anti-Christian? Well, you know, we'd have to ask you a question, and that would start off something like, well, which Christianity do you wish we weren't against?
Mm-hmm.
This word gospel is good news. It is the evangel, and it is what we are preaching. Spirituality, I think many people are spiritual who aren't Christians. That's what I think anyway, Mike.
Well, you know, the only difference between us and all of the denominations of Christianity, and we're not, I think people could take it the wrong way to say we're anti-Christian. We're anti-Christianity. And a lot of good Christian folks. We've got no controversy with Christian folks.
Are you correcting me there?
I am indeed. And so just take it. I rarely get to do this, Beerus. Don't take my thunder away from me.
Oh, I'm gulping now. This is bad for a podcast.
It is indeed. See, any Christian denomination, their brand of Christianity would say, we are really bad because we oppose Christianity. When that denomination opposes all of the tens of thousands of other denominations of Christianity. Now, and then the one that they oppose opposes them. And the one that those oppose opposes the others. There's only one difference, folks, between the gospel revolution and all of Christianity. Folks, everything we say is against Christianity, but we're not telling you the brand of Christianity that we have. We think they're all bad. We look desperately for any one of them. Please show me some place in one of the tens of thousands of denominations of Christianity where there's truth.
Well, one of the reasons we oppose them is because all of them, to the best of our knowledge, are either Arminian or Calvinist, as Vic pointed out.
Exactly.
And here's the difference. Calvinism says God could save the whole world but doesn't give a rip and only wants to save some. Arminianism says God wants to save the whole world, but is just too weak to. But redemptionism says God could save the whole world and did.
Mm-hmm. This issue of predestination, folks, is my goodness, it has put the button on the jacket. It's put the frame on the picture. It's put the wheels on the car. We could go for the next several hours and give you these little analogies, but this is so indisputable. If you read in context all of the passages in the Bible on the term predestination, and that is all of the places where that the word that is translated predestination also, because a lot of places the word ordained.
Michael, we're getting to that.
So all of these things show up differently. But again, we can't bring it up enough. This issue of predestination really compare these. Compare Arminianism and Calvinism to the teachings of predestination that are in the Bible.
Okay, you're not going to let this die. I can see that. We may as well cover this right now. So I've got it. Now I'm flying through the running sheet and saying, where the heck is this? A new series available, Predestined to Life. This is Mike Williams' new series from a recent Gospel Revolution End of Spring conference in Calgary. In this series, Mike tackles the word predestination in the light of the gospel as opposed to traditional Christian. Oh, forget it. Look, it's only $12. Why don't you go to gospelrevolution.com and buy it, for crying out loud? You can get it. If you want CDs, we will get them to you, but it's going to cost just a trifle more. But you can download all these MP3s for $11.99. Now, later you're going to hear me say we've got all this free stuff on our website. Yes, we do. But when we present one of these conference seminars, which is what it is, it's a teaching seminar, we have two full-time audio technicians. One is myself, the other is Randy French. We have Jeff Robertson, who then puts these in order so that they can be CD'd and presented intelligently. It costs us money. So don't get down on us for charging you $12. It's $12. Come on. It's a couple of packets of fags. It's a couple. There I go. Oh, we're losing more and more guys here. It's only a couple of packets of cigarettes. Come on. It ain't much. Mm-hmm. It's what is it? Two bottles of milk down here in where I live, and they charge an arm and leg. Maybe three bottles of milk. So, look, now you can talk, Mike. Now you can tell us why people ought to get this.
I'm sorry, I'm not interested anymore.
Oh, you saw a shiny thing, and then you got distracted. Oh, you – okay, I'm just going right to the end of Sean's letter. There's a method to my madness. He says, I know these –
the one thing that I would like to add to this.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Is this, and we'll probably have more to say about it later on, too.
Oh, no, we won't. No.
Oh,
you,
yes.
You had might. Your chance.
And that is that as low as the price is, folks, if you honestly cannot afford this, we'll still get it to you. Really, there's nothing on our website that's not free if you need it to be. There is nothing. And we've even offered this series in its MP3 form. Any pastor who will listen to it, if you want a donation for your church, we'll do that. If you will listen to it. And you will report back to us what you thought was right and what you thought was wrong based on your doctrine. Why is it wrong? Please tell us why it's wrong.
When was the last time you ever got an offer like that?
Well, I've never gotten an offer like that.
You just wish some of those John Hagees offered that to you. Okay.
Well, I'm glad they didn't, to tell you the truth. But besides that, I know what John Hagee teaches. I know why he thinks what he thinks and all of these guys.
But that's the thing. They couldn't afford to do it because it's for the same reason that our offer of 10 grand to any faith healer. Benny Hinn, you want 10 grand? Here, come with us to St. Jude's Hospital and we'll nominate the floor mm-hmm. of kids with cancer and you heal them all. No,
exactly.
Nobody has the guts to do it because they know they can't.
No, they absolutely know they can't. We could raise it to 20 million if we had it to offer, and still no one would take that offer. So the issue on predestination, folks, again, we just cannot emphasize the importance of this. Now, the thing that I'm thrilled about, Barris, every time we get an order for that series, I get an email. And, you know, every day we're getting emails of people getting this series, and we have ever since we published it.
You don't get a commission?
No, this all goes to the ministry.
What a poor, sad sack you are. Sean finishes his letter by saying, there's a method to my madness. I know these words are a matter of semantics, but doesn't semantics matter in what words mean to folks? Mm-hmm. For example, gay used to mean carefree. Me saying I'm gay to folks would concern my wife, even though I'm carefree. Words matter to me, which is why I've been working diligently to de-Christianize my language to tell those needing good news some good news. Just something to ponder, as if there wasn't enough ponderables already. And then he signs himself as Sean Smith, the fastest dung-slinging love monkey in the South. I don't even know what to say after that. I think I'm going to make a segment out of this. I'll get a little jingle. Hey, you musos out there, make me a little jingle for what would it be? It would be, I don't know, gospel or good news. Good news jingle. It's good news week. Someone bombed a place somewhere, blackening the atmosphere. Good news, Jesus was born. Good news, he died on the cross. Good news, he rose. Okay, then we heard from Doug Salonen. I don't even know if we're going to get to the letter today, but I hope we do. I mean, we spent all last week on one sentence, and I'm dying to see what you're going to do, how you're going to mess it up this week. Doug Salonen said, stretch out your hands. Mike Williams Ministry, during the PowerCast when you were talking about the guy who was going to the Philippines, that was Barry Laney, I thought you were going to say, let's stretch out hands and let's pray for him. Stretch out your hands to the television and pray for him. At one time in your past, you would have said that. We both would have. We all would have. In the Word of Faith movement, that was a perfect spot to say that and then say, let's take up an offering for him. Maybe get people to make a vow like Tilton. Who's Tilton?
Robert Tilton.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And offer a prayer cloth. Listen, mate, we've offered prayer cloths here, and it did not do one – I mean, it didn't do a solitary thing for raising donations. We would give you all a prayer cloth, I mean, upon which the tears of our prayers would be resting, and we'd send that to you, but no one wants it. Oh, boy, thank God I've been redeemed out of that junk and just focus on what Jesus did for us on the cross.
Yeah.
I find that the Word of Faith movement is present tense and always having something to do instead of looking in the past tense of what he already did for us. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Doug Salonen.
Yeah, you know, this is these are our gospel revolutionaries. Goodness gracious, they think things through. You know, we've discussed the issue of faith so many times, personal Lord, personal faith, personal grace. But you see, faith and hope are things you use when there is something that is needed to be done of a spiritual nature that is incomplete. So why in the world do we talk about we don't need faith? As does Paul in Hebrews, which talks about faith toward God, is one of the doctrines that has to be left behind, along with purification rites and resurrection from the dead, because the resurrection of the dead has already taken place. Why would he say leave out the teachings on faith toward God? What's it going to gain you? Is it going to give you something that was not accomplished at the cross? We operate in knowledge about what Christ faith has done. This is all recorded, folks. We don't need any faith to try to engage this. We just need to come to terms with the knowledge of this. Because faith, as he said about hope, faith, why does he yet hope for it if it's already seen? Well, faith is exactly the same way. Why are you faithing for it if you already got it? Why are you hoping for it if you already have it? So this is so accurately put. I really loved this email because all we're doing is looking back to see what was done. We're not looking to the second coming. Oh, goodness. Joyce Meyer sent chills up my spine. Again, of course, I flip through and occasionally will stop just to remind myself of where the world is stuck and how desperately they need the gospel. And she said, now, I know now. That's not the first time she said it in 40 years of ministry. But now she knows that the second coming is just around the corner. It is imminent. And she said it three times.
Here's a funny thing with that. She only got to that conclusion through reasoning, yes? And yet I have a record of her saying, don't reason, just believe. Do not reason. Because when you reason, you're inviting the devil in. So I don't.
Ooh, wow. Goodness. So we're not looking to the second coming. We're not looking for a spiritual event in the future. We don't need a spiritual event in the future. We need a spiritual reality right now. We, by delaying all of this stuff out in the future, we're starving the planet of the good news of the gospel.
So on the basis of what Doug Salonen said here, we're looking for a present reality based on a past fact.
I love the way you put that, Bruce. And that's all we're doing. We're not trying to faith anything, hope anything, believe anything. All of that was applied at the cross. All the faithing, all the hoping, all the believing, all the waiting. Why doth he yet wait for it? Why? We're not waiting on anything to have faith for it. We're not waiting on something to happen that has not happened. We're not hoping for something to be seen that is not seen. We got it. The only thing we're telling you about in the Gospel Revolution is the knowledge of what that predestination, what the faith, what the hope, what the crucifixion, what the resurrection, what the virgin birth, what that all constitutes, and the reality of that. So we're going based on a record. There's a record there. And we're simply going based on the record of the prophecies, the fulfillment of those prophecies, and it's quite evidently seen. Now, I would love to give anyone a glance. For those of you that's not experienced this, the degree of the only thing I can think of right now is the degree of sanity that this mindset brings, stabilizing sanity even. it is fantastic. Oh, I would recommend it for anybody. Man, I tell you what. Now, all of those who actually believe, think, and teach that I am going to burn in hell forever, well, I'm going to get there with perfect peace in my heart. I mean, I don't know. If you're right and I am wrong, then the contentment, the peace, the joy of that, the disconnect with external spirituality. Oh my goodness. I know I've mentioned that term before, but this issue of external spirituality, there's nothing out there, folks. It's all in here. It's inside you. There's nothing to be earned. There's nothing to be gained. There's nothing to be lost. This is a complete work. When Jesus said, as Barris has quoted, it is finished, it didn't mean it's finished. Now it's your turn.
That's great.
It means it's finished. Nobody needs another turn. And yet that's what, whether you slant toward Arminianism or Calvinism, the fact of it is it's your turn with these doctrines. And the gospel disagrees with all of those.
I heard from Phil Britton again this week. I think Phil must be English. I think he may be from the UK. I don't know for certain.
Well, with a last name like Britton, shouldn't you?
Oh, mate. I know that there's a London in Ontario, and there's a Paris in Mississippi or somewhere. Yeah.
Tennessee.
Mayor Paris, Tennessee. That's true. Yeah. Dang. You know Tennessee better than I do.
Of course I do.
Yeah. But I'm lucky. I wasn't born there.
I'm very lucky. I was born there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's a volunteer state. Family. They call, is it Mississippi or Alabama? It's the there's a blue jay outside my window. They call it the show me state. I'm not going to believe unless you show me. Yeah, it's like Thomas.
That's Missouri, my friend.
I knew it was a state. Gee, you like to show off in front of our family. You love to show off how superior you are.
I got to correct you two times in this show so far. So.
Well, good luck in making it a hat trick is all I can say. I heard from Phil Britton, No, no, from the way he spells, I can tell that he's not American, so I don't know. Anyway, he says, hi, Barris, I appreciate, and this was a personal email to me, I appreciate that you pass along the greatest gospel truth to inquiring members and that you share my email with them. And if you want his email, let me know and I'll share it with you. Aside from Mike's book, One, I know of no other modern-day book that covers so many varied aspects of the gospel truth. If you and Mike were to ever consider the book a suitable backup or sidebar to his book, One, I would be most honored. As you are already aware, I place no restrictions whatsoever on your use of it, however you may see fit. Not many people do that. I would only ask that it remain free of charge to all. Thanks, Phil. Now, where you get this book is www.greatestgospeltruth.com. Just go to greatestgospeltruth.com. And, Phil, we include Mike's book at the end of the show, along with other books, books that we appreciate and honor. And I'd be more than willing to place your book in the end of the show notes, which come around about once every 4, maybe 5 weeks. Every week we change the book that we and the quote that we are making at the end of the show. And I have heard that Bob Hines tells me that he had increased sales from us recommending his book. You are the second free book we have on there. We've got other books that, you know, just because of the fact that the publishers charge money, we have to charge for. But this is a second book. The other one is Universalism, the Prevailing Doctrine for the First 500 Years of the Church. And I would be more than happy to include that at the end of the show. So thank you, Phil. And family, go to www.greatestgospeltruth.com. Yeah, how many other people do you know who send you to other people's websites?
Mm-hmm.
To buy their product or to, you know, as we do. In this case, I know it's free, but if you know anyone like that, let us know because we think we're pretty unique in all of this.
Yeah, that's one of the things is I'm, oddly enough, well, I guess predictably enough, when I flip on Joyce Myers or Dwayne Vanderklok or the list goes on and on and on, most of the time, it's like commercials. You can't flip on a program unless you get caught right in the middle of the commercials. And I'm telling you, the majority of times are right in the commercials.
And you know that at the end of it. By the way, if you make a donation to our show, we will send you this free. Well, maybe it's got to be a donation over a certain amount. But it's so predictable, isn't it, Mike?
Well, the one thing that is also predictable is I have never one single time heard them recommend someone else's tape series.
Or offer us a donation just for listening to it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's always their own books, their own material, and they never recommend anybody else's. And that's one thing we're very consistent at when we find anybody. We even recommend people's teachings on certain subjects that we disagree on everything else about.
Yes, we do.
You know, give us a one breath of gospel truth in what you're doing. We'll advertise it for you.
But if you want to put us down, at least have the guts, at least have the integrity, at least have the internal fortitude and the honesty to say, but these people, they seem to really believe what they're saying. At least have the balls to be honest. Because if you don't, all you are is just another talking head.
Gospel Revolution.
From the Friends of Mike Williams on Facebook group, Marlon Luna says this, do you know how much of religion does not work if you cannot convince the people they are dirty, despicable, rotten, filthy, broken, lacking, less than? What's so genius about the original sin doctrine? It is good, isn't it?
I love it.
What is so genius about the original sin doctrine is it makes sense because it validates your ego when you fail or make mistakes. Now, think about that. We think of ego as pride.
But this is marvelous.
It is good stuff. Then you can just eliminate cognitive dissonance because you tell yourself, of course I feel horrible, less than someone else. After all, I was already a fallen piece of shit in need of saving. Psychological genius. The world will provide the feedback to keep the loop going. Whoa. Oh, Marlon.
Man, I tell you, this really is a stroke of genius here, because very rarely will people identify self-righteousness and ego and arrogance, terms like that, as glorifying yourself in your faults.
Mm.
But it is. It is self-righteousness. It is self-righteousness to go around thinking you're a sinner. It is self-righteousness to go around.
Hang on. I want to play some. Can I play a song?
Play it.
Never been a sinner. I never sinned.
Exactly. Yeah, this one, that song is the one that, Glenn Klein brought that to us in the Gospel Revolution. And boy, did it light his fire. It took me months to get this man calmed down after
I had a friend at whose funeral he made sure that was sung, and his coffin was carried out of the church. This was a Brethren church, by the way, if you don't mind. And he had his coffin carried out to that song.
Ah, wonderful. It's an excellent gospel song, that's for sure.
You bet.
You know, feeling guilty is just as self-righteous as feeling holy because of your works. It's just two opposite ends of the same dirty stick. Guilt is self-righteousness. Paul talked about this false humility and will worship.
Oh, that is a big one in Colossians. When I first saw that, the worship of your will. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Will worship. Now we got to read the verse because I can't remember exactly what it says.
You just read my mind.
So let's go there. Let's see. Colossians, chapter 2.
I think
verse
it's two,
yeah. 18.
Dang, have you got your Bible out?
Yeah.
I had no idea I was dealing with a Bible bandit.
Let no man beguile you of your reward. Oh, man, this is a warning about your reward. And now, how can they beguile you? Now, what does the word beguile mean, Paul?
What does it mean?
I just elevated you from Barris to Paul.
I like that. I can be a good Paul. I just don't want my head to roll into a basket. That's all. You mean in English or in Greek?
Greek.
Oh, katabrabeo. You know, it's one of those words that can mean different. Okay, let me just tell you what Strong's says. He says it's to award a price against. So, to beguile you would be almost to get a price on your head, wouldn't it?
Wow, yeah. And he said, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels.
Now, voluntary means that. Humility means that. So there are a couple of things here. Angel worship.
Yep.
What the heck? It was silent all this time. Barry Laney. Oh, Barry Laney.
Go ahead.
Barry, mate, are you home yet? Oh, come by. Please come by. You take 322, and then when you get to the top of the ramp, turn left and go straight through Eva. It's a stop sign. You just go straight on through and then follow the main drag down there, and you're going to come back down through Foodland, and you'll know where we are from there. And if you have any I'm recording with Mike at the moment, but if you have any problems, call me. I'll keep the phone on. Okay. He's on his way here.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He wanted to stop here. I want to cry. He wanted to stop here as his first call on Hold on. Laura? Good. She heard. She's getting dressed. Okay, where were... And thank you, mate, for letting me... I am just so...
Oh, no, I'm excited too.
So here there are two things. Voluntary humility. So somebody who... See, you can't become humble. Humility is something which happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I can't become old. I've just got to wait, and it happens. But when you voluntarily humiliate yourself, that is another form of self-righteousness.
Voluntary humility as opposed to required humility. And there's no humility required, but they volunteer it anyway. And the worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen. Now, and I said this 30 years ago, he says he hath, but he hasn't.
He hasn't. let's go back to verse 9. I like that. So what is this a result of? Well, let's go back to verse 9 or 8. And he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. These things are vain deceit. They are. Now, sophos, the word we get philosophy from, which is, let me just check, and in the Greek it is philosophia. So it is philo, brotherly, sophia, knowledge. So brotherly knowledge. Let no one spoil you through brotherly knowledge. They pretend to be a brother and they're going to show you stuff now. And vain deceit after the tradition of men. These things are the traditions of men. After the rudiments of the world, that word rudiments, stoichion, it is often used in the New Testament to speak about those things which Israel were totally soaked in.
Mm-hmm.
They were the rudimentary beginnings.
Principles, the rules, beginning rules.
After the tradition of men, remember what Jesus said about our traditions, that they make void the word of God. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him.
How much clearer does it get? In him is all the fullness of the Godhead, and you are complete in him. Where's all this doctrine of insufficiency? And, I mean, you see why Paul goes back and talks about voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, because they're trying to gain external spirituality. What has Paul said so far? All spirituality of the Godhead is internal.
Wow. And so in verse 23, he says, which things indeed have a show,
mm-hmm.
like a pantomime, like a pretense of wisdom in will worship.
Yep, that's what voluntary humility is. It is will worship.
Gosh.
Voluntary wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body. Oh,
have you ever heard of fasting?
Yep. abstaining and just, you know, go down through the whole list. Not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. because that's not what we're trying. See, this is flesh satisfaction. Flesh satisfaction can be sex, drugs, rock and roll. Flesh satisfaction, or the attempt to satisfy flesh, can be laws, rules, and regulations. The satisfaction of the flesh can be claims of external spirituality. Man, the flesh loves this. Oh my gosh. Yes, and look at me. I am so humble. Yes, look at me. I fast. Yes, look at me. I am humbling myself all the way to lashing myself on the way to a remake of the cross on East.
Because as in this email, the writer says, it's and he's lashing himself not because of the good in him, but because of the
exactly.
evil in him or the perceived bad in him, his guilt, his failures, his whatever.
This is gospel insight.
Mm-mm-mm.
When you can see self-righteousness on both sides of the fence, that's when your mind is being renewed, because the unrenewed mind only sees self-righteousness, pride, and arrogance on the side of I'm good enough.
Mm.
I'm better than you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only side that we see it on. But Paul says it is just as equally on the other side also.
Oh, man.
I'm not good enough.
Marlon Luna, thank you. That was...
Thank you, my friend.
Superb. Now, from our Gospel Revolution private group, and I can... somebody said, thought I would share this here. I was talking to a Muslim guy. Now, our private group is a group where we don't advertise names because that's the whole point of the group. Thought I'd share this here. I was talking to a Muslim guy who came over to fix my cable TV problem. He saw a Bible in the bookshelf and asked me if I was a Christian. I said, no, I'm not. He proclaimed that he was a Muslim and well-educated in religions. He looked again at the bookshelf and saw other Bibles and a concordance and a Catholic or Mormon, lots of different books on religions. So he asked me again, were you a Christian? I said, nope, never was. Finally, he asked why I had all these religious books, that I must believe in something. I replied, I study religions and history and that I believe in the Christ, but I don't believe in Christianity. This puzzled him. He said, well, I believe in Christ too, but I'm a Muslim, and we believe we had the last prophet. I said maybe he should go talk with a Mormon because they believe they have the last prophet. Mm. That's too funny. Oh, and theirs was on earth in the early 1800s. Then he said that Jesus couldn't have been God in the flesh because he wasn't raised from the dead. He was smuggled out of the tomb. I know better than to argue with a religious person, so I said, well, that might be true. You could be right. I believe in the resurrected and risen Christ, so if it didn't happen 2,000 years ago and it's still going to happen at some time in the future, I'm good with that because that is or will be the one who God sent who cleanses humanity from the sin condition of Adam and makes us all right with God, whether we believe it or not. That's the one I believe the Old Testament has told us about. He was quiet for about 5 minutes. I'm telling you, people, the hairs rose up on the back of my neck when I was listening to this because this is so unusual. This is the first time I've ever seen anyone talking like this in our group. He was quiet for about 5 minutes. Then he said he would need to look into what I had said as he had never heard that explanation before.
What an honest answer.
Oh, man. And I wrote back something like, and you won a new friend because they weren't afraid of the otherness in you.
Yeah.
Oh, I want some of that.
Yeah, and you want an open mind, an open heart. Goodness. This is a beautiful letter. Goodness, we are very appreciative of the experience and glad to share it with as much of the world as we have contact with.
And remember, if you have any questions, feel free to record them on United States area code 234-564-0971. And for outside of the United States, the number is 123-456-40971. It's the same number with a one in front of it. If you're a Facebook follower and want to hang out with us, then hit the search bar in Facebook and search Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. If you want your questions and remarks to not be seen by anyone outside a secret private group, then write in the Facebook search bar these words, Gospel Revolution Private Group, and ask to join. This group also sprang out of the need to have a group where concepts of a slightly more controversial nature may be raised. Here's what you missed out on if you're not in the Gospel Revolution Private Group. This week, Michael Turi said, the gospel did not begin with how bad we were. It began with how good God is.
Mm.
And that's a Bo Hines quote, but I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously reading Bob's book, but the gospel didn't begin with how bad we were. It began with how good God is.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good stuff all the way around.
If you're not receiving our quarterly newsletter, then you should be. It's free. It's free. Come on, go to gospelrevolution.com, click on contact, and ask to be put on our mailing list. If you want any of our hundreds of pre-products, go to gospelrevolution.com, where we have over 2,500 hours of free material, teachings and podcasts available. While in the store, you'll find the cheapest seminar teachings you're ever liable to find anywhere on the internet. If you need a fast injection of gospel CPR, that is a consistent, persistent and repetitive joy of the gospel, then tune in to Gospel Revolution Radio, playing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, thanks to Marcel Roos in Holland. Forums, articles, seminars, radio, videos, Facebook, podcasts, we've got it all just for you. www.gospelrevolution.com. And while you're there, look at some of Jeff Robertson's videos. He made two videos today, but were they really saved? Gosh, I heard that so many times. As an Arminian, I heard that so many times. Well, were they saved in the first place? Oh, who knows? And religion is Antichrist. If you want to know why Christianity is Antichrist, you'd better get on in there. Get your tail into our website, www.gospelrevolution.com, and listen to Jeff Robertson's videos. They're only about 5-6 minutes long. There are so many up there. They've been going a couple of years now, and just walk into Gospel Revolution. Come on into our space. Put your feet up on the table and fill your boots. And now, Mike Williams, I have a surprise for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been following a young man here in Cullman, Alabama, who, frankly, I don't know, you know, some people don't reckon he amounts to a hill of beans. But this young man has been putting his hand in his pocket. He got short pockets and long arms, I'll tell you that much. And he's been feeding orphans in Philippines. We talked about him a little bit earlier in the show, and I want to put him on right now, because Barry Laney just called me from I-65 South, and he said, "I'd like to come see you on the way home. This man has just come back from the Philippines. You'll be the very first people in the world to hear what he's been doing over there and what he's been experiencing over there and what he's been. Hey, guess what? He's not going to tell you this. He was just installed as a king, or recognized as a king, of the Blaan tribe in the Philippines. And all I can do by talking anymore is going to spoil it more. So without any more ado, Michael, here is Barry Laney, gospel revolutionary for maybe a quarter of a century. The man who still brings you down to Cullman, along with Pastor Ted and a few other folks. And here he is.
Well, here I am.
Hey, Barry. How are you, my friend?
I am wonderful, Mike. It's so good to hear your voice. It's so good to be back to Alabama.
Sweet home Alabama never sounds sweeter, right?
It is sweet home Alabama. But to be truly honest, I miss being in the Philippines also.
I bet you do. Tell us about your trip there. What was the purpose of your trip?
My trip there was multi-purpose. First, it started as a strong desire to extend grace in action and let it speak forth, not just in word, but in deed. Something that has been on my heart for many years. Of course, hearing the message of grace for the very first time in 1995 here.
Wow.
In Cullman, Alabama, from you. And as, you know, hearing the message, you hear grace this, grace that, Jesus this, Jesus that, and what grace does and how we should believe grace and talk about grace and teach others grace. But then it began to grow in my heart that, hey, it's a little more than just talking about it. There's a little more than just teaching it. A little more than just bringing people freedom, but it's Jesus. I have learned that He and I are one.
Yeah.
And to be Jesus here in the earth, without even struggling, without even trying, all of a sudden that heart change comes within, at least I can only speak for myself, comes within me to start extending grace in my actions and deeds in any way that I can, without the old religious thinking, "Oh, I'm pleasing God now." I actually am pleasing me now.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I need to do is tell you we've really enjoyed keeping track of your progress while you were there. Barris kept us apprised of all the events. And I'm sure you have a whole lot more to tell us.
But
one of the things that you'll be interested in when we get off, have Barris to show you the article that is going out this week that I just published. You'll find it interesting because let me read the first line of it to you.
Okay.
Teaching the gospel and seeing the gospel. How does one see the gospel?
Oh my.
So I think that there's something running through the gospel revolution that, isn't that the way it always is? Goodness gracious, we've had the privilege of growing together in the gospel since 1995.
Yes.
And it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. But take a look at this article. Tell me what you think about it, because I'm just now proofing it to see, are we hitting the mark here in what people are looking for in understanding this. So while you were there, what was the main thing that you did while you were there? What was your goal?
Well, like I said, it was multifold. I had accidentally come in contact with a person to start only sending some money to help these children, and they never asked me for a dime. They never asked mm-hmm. me for a penny. I upon my own will, seen some photos and said, hey, without going into a long story, and maybe we'll do that another day, I just said, can I help? And in fact, the person said, oh, no, please don't worry about that. You know, we're taking care of this as we can. But I had learned that a few of them were using their own little bit of money that they do have there. And as we can imagine, a third world country, there's not a lot of it, of that there. And so I wanted to help and was given the opportunity. And that little bit of help that I started giving in the beginning a couple of years ago brought so much joy to my heart, it was unexplainable. So as a couple of years went by and I continued to help more and more and more, I started speaking to the person that I had made contact with about the gospel of grace, the gospel of peace, and the gospel of love, who Jesus really is and who our Father really is. And they became more and more interested. I directed them to a few of my videos that I have on YouTube mm-hmm. that are very old and very out of date. But
they're good. I still enjoy them.
Oh, Lord, thank you. But to them, they were new, and they also I told them, I had a little bit of a book that I would love to send if they would read it, and so they began to listen to my videos, read my book. And through this person that I contacted, they started asking me, hey, would you like to come speak? I said, oh, I would love that. You know, that would be great. Uh-huh. I didn't know how serious they were. But as time passed, I began to see they were very serious. So I began to save a little money, ask for a few donations. So Mike, while I was there, I got to preach 7 times.
Man, that's wonderful.
7 times. In fact, I preached so many times, I said, hey, I am so tired. Can I take a break? So, and I spoke at sometimes from 100 people in a group to, I think the last time I spoke was at least 700 or 800.
And oh, that's wonderful.
They sat there and absorbed the gospel of grace and peace. And I did teach it very basic, maybe very similar to the first time I heard you.
Yeah.
And they absolutely loved it. I think they grasped it, and they were so thankful. People had tears, and I could tell their hearts were full of joy. So multifold, feed children to let grace be an action and to also speak and teach grace. So.
Well, now, Barry Laney, let me tell you something. I have an idea.
Oh.
Now, let me tell you something. I get really good plans for other people. And,
Jesus.
They've been trying to talk me into going to Kenya for years. And Moses Gata and his wife, and we'll mm-hmm. be updating people on this and this tremendous work that's going on there. They want somebody to come to Kenya. I am all in favor because I don't want to go to Kenya. this is Hear My Lord, Send Barry. So
am I getting nominated for something now?
You are indeed, and I'm doing it live and on the air.
Who all gets to vote? We need a vote first.
This is called an assault right in public. In front
of, so maybe this is not exactly a nomination. Maybe this is a little more than a nomination.
Well, I tell you what, I would love to be a part of supporting you going to Kenya and spending time with these folks there also. Goodness, you got the heart for it.
I love it. I love it.
And they've got, we've got orphanages there that we also take care of.
Well, children are my heart, and the gospel of grace and peace is my heart.
Well, there you go. And you've got Moses and Elizabeth Gata there who have just laid down their lives for the gospel. Moses just got out of jail. And I guess I shouldn't say that, trying to talk you into going away.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah.
Send me now, Lord.
But, I think this would be a wonderful assignment. You're a gospel revolutionary. I'm the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, so I'm going to make an appointment here. So.
Well, here's the deal. I would absolutely love to do it. I will accept the invitation. And,
awesome.
All I can say is I will have to ask for help with finances here, there, and the other, just as I did for the Philippines.
You won't have to ask for it. It'll be there.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
So you've just sat down after your first trip, and we've already got you going on your second one here.
Oh, gosh. I feel very honored and very privileged, and that is the honest truth. And excuse me, I'm kind of an emotional person, so if I cry, I will try to do it in private. But
around here, we cry out loud. So
oh, you cry? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Paris, I was told to not cry in private, but to cry out loud. So Miss Laura and Paris here will have to just bear with me. But I feel so honored.
Well, Barry, we love you to pieces. I have.
I love you. I love you. You know, and I haven't spoken to you in a while. And just to tell you, the beginning of this journey, however many years ago 1995 is, I'm not a very good mathematician, but a long time ago, this journey started. And it's so neat. I don't have a word exactly to say how wonderful things are happening accidentally on purpose.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. And I know that it's good to have that type of confidence. I never will forget stumbling across. I don't think I'd met you or knew of you, but I stumbled across your videos. And it's like, oh my gosh, who on God's green earth is this man? He is sharing the gospel. And from that, I actually think I got Jeff or Glenn or somebody to get in contact with you. And we kind of went from there. And it's been a really good relationship since then. But, we're going to send you to Kenya.
Holy me. And I say holy me sincerely. I have learned that I am God in this earth. He is still the Word that walks in the flesh now through each and every one of us.
You know, just a few years ago, we really began to assault this concept of an external God, a God out there, a God in heaven. And man, we have been relentless because until that paradigm of an out there God, an external spirituality is gone, we will never concentrate the power.
True.
The way that God chose to concentrate this power.
True.
And that is in humanity. We love you to pieces. We'll talk much more about this.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for going and sharing the gospel with these folks. You had our support all the way.
Thank you, Mike.
And you too.
Thank you so much. Mr. Barris, love you, Michael.
Love you too.
I hope to talk again soon.
It'll be soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
And so it is that we must leave you, family and friends. My takeaway from Christianity was, I am God, and I love you so much that I created hell just in case you didn't love me back. Or to put it another way.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
It's Jesus.
Jesus? What do you want?
I want to tell you just what I'm going to do to you if you don't open the door.
If that sounds like pig slop to you, then you're going to love Phil Britton's book, The Greatest Gospel Truth. This is a simple yet powerful expose of how religion has thoroughly corrupted the gospel of grace and peace, and how you can distinguish the truth from the lies. The book is free. Did I say free? Why miss out? Just go to www.greatestgospeltruth.com and download it right now.
Mm-hmm.
We run a value-for-value model here, and it costs us time, cash, and energy to research, produce, and maintain this free information. This value-for-value model is the only way we feel that we can present the gospel freely and unhindered. So, if you feel that you've received real value from this podcast, I'm asking you to seriously consider look, just stick your hands in your pocket. Yeah, $5 once, $10 twice. Hey, what about $100 $100 times?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you call area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeff Robertson about how you can participate? Or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the donate link. And remember, cash is not the only way that you can support the gospel. Get this. You've just heard from Barry Laney, and his way of supporting the gospel was to stick his hand into his pocket and feed orphans in Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to stick our hand in our pocket and send him to Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Look, if you are in any way desiring to further the gospel, we will do everything we can to help you. Anything you can do to help the gospel can make all the difference for somebody else just like you, starting their own journey towards thinking for themselves. If you have any questions, feel free to record them on United States area code 234-564-0971. For outside of the United States, the number is 1-234-564-0971. Perhaps you would like to invite Mike to your area. Oh, just don't do it. It's going to turn your church. It's going to turn your... Okay, I'll go back to reading the script. Perhaps you'd like to invite Mike to your area. It is easier than you may think. Call our office on the number we just mentioned with details when, where, and why, and we will make it happen. Somewhere in the world, anywhere in the world, if you haven't heard today that we want to spread the gospel, you might be missing something. So now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios in Eva, Alabama. Bustling? Downtown Eva, Alabama, where we actually last week we put in a new horse trough. It is a sparkling green stainless steel horse trough. It is the best horse trough you ever saw in the South. And already people are lining up with their buggies and their carriages, and their horses are being relieved. Is relieved the right word, Mike?
I hope not for the horse trough.
So now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios in Eva, Alabama.
And it is good evening from Michael Williams right here in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, 33410. And if you hear some chitter chatter going on in the background, it's because a trip to Kenya is already in the works. Folks, we do things very much based on what the heart says to do. Barry's heart said stop by Barris's place on the way from the airport. He sat down, and the next thing he knew, he's on his way to Kenya. So we love you guys. Thank you so much for your support. And the gospel revolution is so exciting, and it's going to get way more exciting. So your participation has been so incredibly appreciated. Thank you so much. We love you.
We hope you enjoyed today's PowerCast. But if you didn't, blame, Mike Williams,
Barry Laney. I'll blame whoever you want, really. Just remember this. Just because you're offended does not mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, then join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again, only how do you top this?
We will. Better.